It's Saturday, March 15th, 2008, and you're listening to episode 93 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour and 3 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Luke.
My name's John.
My name is Matt.
It's Luke.
I'm the mother effing devil.
Yeah, you're always trying to shed your crazy party guy feel here on the show.
Well, I just don't know him
for 12 straight hours.
I just don't know how I got it. I met you guys at Wing Night. I didn't even have that much to drink. I'm just loud. Does that make me a party animal?
I don't think you need to drink.
No, I think it's the fact that your voice was gone by, like, I don't know, 1 p.m. Well, part of that was Wing Night trying to shout over music for 4 hours.
Yes, same here. My voice has been, it's still destroyed. It's not as bad today as it has been the past couple days. I can't tell you how much lemon juice and honey I have consumed.
That was Sunday, because I woke up Sunday unable to speak, and I'm like, you know, Monday I have patients to see. In fact, the whole optometry Sunday thing, I only had a few takers on, not enough to open up the business.
Yeah,
which is a good thing, because I could not speak.
I'm sorry I abandoned you. I was wrecked.
I opened it up and waited for Dan to show up.
Right.
And was completely disappointed and hurt.
Yeah. And the problem was I was wrecked. I mean, I was absolutely destroyed that next day.
I was still high on life from the con, but I couldn't speak. Was a problem, which my wife loved, oddly enough. But
it was like a role reversal.
I would like wave, like she turned on like the American Idol on DVR. I'm like, no. What was she's like, oh, you want me to turn it up? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is somewhat my own fault, but procrastinating a lot of things. I was up way into the night trying to get ready for the con. Several nights leading up to that, had a bunch of meetings related to work and stuff, so I had to get up fairly early in the morning on a bunch of those days. Go into the con, of course, then have to teach the next morning, and then find out, oh yeah, this is also that night that Congress takes an hour away.
Yeah, that was nice timing on our part.
Yeah. So it just completely screwed me up. All right, real quick, before we get, because this today we're going to talk in two sections about Fear the Con. One is we're going to kind of look back at how the con went, thank some folks, talk about what went on in case you missed it. Then we're going to kind of mine that for information and advice on our experiences with running a con.
We are con experts at this point. One con under our belt, con experts, because we did a good con.
Well, you know, I think, though,
sharp learning curve.
That's helpful, because after only one con, we don't take anything for granted yet.
Well, you may not, but I'm taking a lot for granted
Me
at this
too.
Point.
I think if we've been doing cons for 20 years, there's so many things we wouldn't realize we didn't know at one point in life that... Well, plus on top of that, I'm not going to wait 20 years to do this episode, so...
You'd be like if you've been doing cons that long, you'd be like the grizzled guy on Jaws. Like, those sharks, they have dead eyes, Dolls eyes.
That joke is funny every take, Luke.
Well, this time I didn't misname the guy.
Yeah, so
this is like take 25.
Well, it is take 3, because the first one...
We're going to need a bigger boot.
Somebody jumped Smirnoff all over the podcast table. The second take, it wasn't clicking, so we had to come back again.
Well, I think Matt spilling ruined everything, which, speaking of spilling, that brings up, I knew there was going to be some spillage at Fear the Con, some party fouls, and of course, I think I had the first two spills at my first Dukes game, which actually moistened a copy of Savage Worlds, which...
I think we spilled more apples than beer.
Yeah, there was apple
Tony
juice
was
everywhere.
Tony was doing the whole Chris Carpenter routine with his Fear the Fruit job.
I hear,
I
though,
had one
this,
incomplete pass myself.
The Savage Worlds book actually survived having a beer dumped on it.
Well, you know, I didn't know that Savage Worlds books were actually shrinky dinks. And just by getting it wet, it expanded.
Just got it.
I don't even know what shrinky dink is.
It's like, you're too young.
You're too young. Yeah.
If you put it, it's a little thing where you used to cut out, put them in the oven, they shrink down this little hard.
Technically, the joke I made doesn't make any sense because they get smaller.
They get smaller,
not bigger.
Not bigger.
But that's
Your Savage book shrank from a regular size down to the Explorer version.
That must be it. Everybody actually
that's
had
how
the
they get Explorer
edition.
Versions. They just soak the regular books in beer for half an hour.
Yeah, Savage World sold. By the way, as if anybody doubted it, I told the vendor, Gamerground, by the way, gamerground.com.
They did a great job.
They did
set up.
Fantastic job. I told them, I'm like, look, I talk this game up a lot. I get a lot of emails from fans. Bring a lot of copies of Savage Worlds because we have a lot of prize support from Pinnacle. People are going to want to pick it up from that and for other reasons. So like, okay, we'll bring some copies. We'll make sure we have enough. They brought 8. I believe that sold out in the first 2 hours. And some were bought even before they were completely set up.
Yeah. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but probably something else that did not help that situation was, if I'm not mistaken, I think every single game that was run by somebody who's on this show was a Savage Worlds game.
Yeah, except did you run Epic of Rise and Savage Worlds?
I did.
Okay,
I
in have, that case, that was everything.
Yeah, I have my own rule system that I'm working on, but I didn't want to try and rush to get that and Skies of Glass Tier 1 both ready to go by the con. So I just went ahead and like, well, I'll just plug it into Savage Worlds, use the advice that Luke gave me on that system conversion show.
Sure.
Actually put it into play, and it, you know, it worked really well.
Well, Dan, you ran two games. Luke, you ran two. I ran one. What is that? Half the gaming schedule
we had,
in Savage Worlds?
Well, then we had Sean run Chainmail, Savage Chainmail Bikini.
Yeah, okay.
We
so
had Derek
six.
Run Tour of Darkness. Killer Cheesewood did a pickup game of zombies in the back room. So we, and I think I'm probably forgetting one or two. Oh, Savage Earthbound from
from Ed.
It was, I'd say it was a good at least 35% of the gaming schedule. Most of the games, there were a lot of smaller games run at the con. I was really surprised there. You know, you would think D&D being the most popular RPG out there would have a lot of people running.
There was a D&D game.
There was one every slot for Living Greyhawk.
But just one table, yeah.
Yeah, and there wasn't much D20 at all. It was mainly well, there wasn't mainly anything but Savage Worlds. It was all over the place, which is awesome.
There was,
well,
there was a bunch of War Machine.
Dogs and
well, there was
and
yeah, let me
a
give
little
a,
World of Darkness.
Let me give a shout out to, oh, there's also Cthulhu Tech and Burning Wheel. And what
Star
else?
Wars.
Star Wars. All
Flesh,
Flesh
Must
Be
Eaten.
Yep, there is. And many more we're forgetting at this point. But let me give a huge shout out to the War Machine community of St. Louis. We have a really huge hardcore community here, which I used to be involved in a lot more than I am now. But I still have a lot of buddies in there. And I was expecting about a 10-person turnout for our tournament. We had 23. It was huge. And
the
had people from Columbia.
Was immense.
Yeah, and it was awesome. And our press ganger, Chris, did a great job. I mean, I can't thank those guys enough for showing up and drinking the beer, because they made it a lot of fun. There was a lot more yelling because of them.
Ironheart Jar won. Very
yeah,
good.
Dave
very
won.
Good job,
yeah,
did
which
he?
Is good.
All
well,
right.
You know, I totally rigged that.
I heard
for
after
him.
Chad interviewed him, he got his ass kicked. But
well, anybody who Chad interviewed would immediately lose. So I think he interviewed actually Dave's opponent, and who's Chris, who's Vader on, well, Vader on another form. We have a different Vader on ours, but
that's
Chris
a good strategy.
Yeah, Chad interview people. Chad really is a jinx, I think. No, I don't know what that means. So.
We should ask Dawn. Dawn, has Chad ruined your life by his mere presence? And the answer to this is yes. All right, before we get into Fear of the Con real deep.
I think it's too late for that.
Well, three quick asides. First of all, John and I, to kick off our con season kick it off, we are going to be at ICON in early April.
Yeah, April 4th through 6th on Long Island in New York.
Right. So if you are in that area or want to stop by that area or are coincidentally already going to be at that con, be sure to look for us. We should be pretty easy to spot. We'll probably be wearing Fear the Boot shirts. And if not, you can go to the host bio section of our site, see what we look like. We're both fairly distinct looking individuals.
Yes. I shaved my beard, though, so
the
clean
shaving. Speaking of new,
and you can also see Jabba Luke.
Oh,
yes,
thanks, Carla, for
Lucius
that
the
Hutt. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to, speaking of New York, to the boys from New York who rolled our way, Chris and Duke, who were by far and away the best dressed and smoothest men at Fear the Con. Those guys could have hosted a party but dressed like that. They were hot.
Yeah.
H-O-T-T hot.
All right, and we'll get back to that when we get to Fear the Con, Luke.
Oh, it's all about Fear the Con. You and your moderating.
I know. The second thing is Skies of Glass. We are going to go ahead and release a resource document, which is a PDF copy of the print version we were distributing at Fear the Con. So if you were not able to make it and want to pick up a copy of that, probably not with this episode, but next week, look in the resource section. I'll put a link to it as well in the show notes, and you'll be able to pick up a PDF copy of the Tier 1 rules. We do have some print copies left, which, Luke, you're telling me there was some interest in from people that couldn't make it.
Yeah, there's been some posts about it and some emails. I don't know how much. I mean, we have far more copies than we do interest at this point.
But yeah, I don't know what we'll do with those or how we'll handle those.
Well, if
we're
putting the PDF out, we could always just hold them to Gen Con.
Road trip to the E.T. landfill.
E.T. and Skies of Glass.
Yes, together forever.
We should hold a vigil. It's funny, you know the E.T. jokes, but you don't know about Shrinky Dinks.
Dude, selective cultural awareness.
Wait, did we do Shrinky Dinks this take? I can't even remember if we made the joke.
I think it was this take. You're good. And if not, everyone just laughs.
I somehow carry
like
the burden of
mention.
Being 10 years younger than all these jokers with some degree of poise, I think. But you know, I don't know.
You hold your own.
Pet rocks and your shrinky dinks and your Pokemon.
Pet rocks predate
that
us.
That was the prior 2 decades. Yeah. That wasn't the 80s.
We never wore fringe jackets, just in case you're wondering.
I always joke with my wife because I was born in 79 in October and she was born in March of 80. I keep telling her how we can never relate to each other or understand each other because we are a generation apart. Born in the 70s. She's a child of the 80s. It'll never work.
That's pretty rough there, Luke.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how we even communicate. It's like we speak different languages.
All right. Last thing up, the Dragonlance episode. So,
that was last week.
I know, but I want some people to know that some of the response, and this is just a handful of people, have inspired our entire next show where there's going to be a major topic on do people take gaming too seriously.
I know Tracy Hickman is a dude. It's a joke.
What about that picture you showed me over the other day?
Oh, I photoshopped that.
She was like a 6-diamond game master. I'm ready to be client number 10.
No politics on Fear the Boot, remember?
It's not politics. This is merchandising.
Okay, but enough about the... Well, that'll come
game
next
masters
episode.
Are rated from 3 to 7 diamonds.
Game master is hard as a diamond.
I came to find out that we apparently actually got a response to that over on some of the Dragonlance
On Trampus's forum, we got a response from Margaret Weiss.
Big friend of the show, by the way.
Yeah,
Trampus. Everyone is buddies. We're all cool, Trampus just so everyone knows.
Trampus was awesome this weekend. John and I gave him so much crap. It was awesome. And he was great in my Dukes game. He and his buddy Ken. We had a good time.
Yeah, he runs a Dragonlance podcast. They got something.
The Dragonlance Canticle.
Dragonlance Canticle. We'll link that in the show notes.
Any award winning, if I'm not wrong. Not the podcast, but the website.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
The Ennies was something of a blur to me last year. And if anyone's curious, there's the nomination process changes here. I'm not entering, so if you don't see us there, that's by design. So
that was our plan since last year.
One year was sufficient. So
yeah, once we saw,
I think anyway. It's best for both organizations that we just go our
plus
merry
if
way.
Paul Tevis wins again, I get more alcohol.
Yeah,
so vote for him.
Vote for Paul, so we can drink more.
So anyway, but over on their site, they apparently a few people got their feathers a little ruffled.
No, there were some people. As a general rule, as we'll talk about next episode, people who take the show with any grain of seriousness are doing it all wrong.
Yeah, we don't take the show seriously.
And that should be evident, really.
Yeah, to plug Trampus yet again, while we did a humorous audio commentary, apparently over at Dragonlance Canticle, they are going to do a real audio commentary, which I can't imagine how you could come out of that sane, but apparently if you're a fan, they're going to do it. So
you approach it from the historical record like an archaeologist.
Right. Just hold on to that will save.
I don't know if I could do
pump
it.
Pump it up.
It's all non-Euclidean geometry.
Dump your wisdom score.
And snow jobs. And I tell you, though, they have very little to bitch about because we're supporting the industry. And I say it because do you know how many people at Fear the Con approached me and said...
We rented it from the Redbox thing just to listen to your commentary?
I didn't even hear that. I heard either I just bought it. Or on the way back from Fear of the Con, I'm going to buy it. Not even rent it, but buy it.
Anybody who said that I recommended against, I'm like, hey, I'd love it for you to listen to this episode, but it's not worth getting.
I did notice that all the people who said that they bought it,
see,
they, here, they always had
back in the crucible.
Oh, look about them.
Woo!
I'm the mother effing devil.
I'm not going to. I don't care if a movie is based on a gaming tradition or gaming or support something I do, if it's terrible. I mean, it doesn't show us in a good light. I mean, I can't believe the authors, I'm sure they had great respect for the people who did it and are happy to see their story animated, but even they, I'm sure they
we
can't
should have
admit,
a cartoon movie. I'm jealous. This is what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, how could they? You can't look
have
at that.
Production values any worse.
You can't look at it and go, this is a good movie in any way, shape, or form.
You
it's
know,
not.
I have to say, walking away from it, I don't have a fully formed opinion because of the fact that we were mocking it through the entire run.
Yes, and one counter argument I've heard is that it's a lot of nods and fan service to the people who already know Dragonlance, who have read the books, who are really into the universe, and we're not. We don't know left from right regarding any pre-established D&D.
I've already said I've read the first half.
Except Spelljammer.
Of all.
I'm waiting for the Spelljammer movie.
I would love it. I'd love to see some giant hippos.
No, hamsters, man.
Well, giant hamsters and the space hippo race.
I want the Lich Star Destroyers.
In the phlogiston. You're floating around the phlogiston. Okay, now how many old TSR settings can we bash in one go round?
I don't know, but I bet I can get Dark Sun and Al-Qaeda in one swipe.
All right, you get that.
I'll do Red Steel. That's an obscure one.
You got Red
one.
Steel? I'd bash Planescape, but I'd have to beat myself because I love Planescape.
You love Planescape Torment.
No, I love Planescape.
Okay.
And I blame
it
all.
Best setting
period. I mean, it should never have been a D&D setting because it was just brilliant for what it could have been without a D&D system attached to it.
Well, that's lukeatfeartheboot.com.
Well, no, I've cut my teeth on second edition D&D. I have great love for it. It's a fun game. But
it was all about the struggle between the factions for which D&D really didn't have mechanics.
No, it doesn't have it at all. It would have been better with some house rules or something to make it a little more than just regular D&D with a really awesome setting.
Luke, you know, you can just add whatever house rules you want.
No,
now, over the years, we've used Planescape as the backstop for many of a campaign on the Prime, and it's always worked out nicely.
Yeah, Planescape is so awesome in so many ways, and Torment only made it better. You know, it let everybody enjoy Planescape.
And Torment's still good enough. I was playing it last summer, even though the graphics a little weak. It's
not about the graphics.
Delicious.
Not about the graphics. But
well, the graphics help.
You know what made Planescape for me? Dear Lizzie. That art really defined, it had such a great, distinct feel over most D&D settings. Dirty Lizzie's art was fantastic in that. Not so good in the opening fiction of Werewolf 2nd Edition, though, with my favorite line ever, Hokahay. And you all know what I'm talking about there, Hokahay.
Do we really?
No, actually, I don't know. Oh, the foggy stay, what you're talking about.
The opening, they didn't have opening fiction for the, well, I think they did.
Is this a Lukic shirt?
It's turning into it. Somebody do something else.
Woo!
There we go.
Boss Hog!
Werewolves can be hurt.
Well, anyway.
So, yeah, birthright.
Right. So, getting back to Dragonlance, folks, we don't take this show seriously. We don't take each other seriously. We don't take gaming seriously. If you can't. Anyway, Fear the Con. All righty. First of all, Chad was walking around at Fear the Con. If you weren't able to make it, or even if you did, he was walking around doing some kind of man on the street interviews, which are not going to show up in the podcast feed because I've been told they so radically violate our rating that
when misanthropes attack,
that we have basically one of two options, which would either be run them as just one giant long silence or not run them at all. So what we're going to do instead is I will put up a post in the podcast feed, just a post that will link to them, but I'm not actually going to run this as part of the podcast feed. So if you want to hear those interviews, keep an eye on feartheboot.com over the next week.
And prepare to jump a legal hurdle away from our website so that we don't get AOE damage.
Yeah. So just fair warning, these were man on the street interviews.
Chad draws a lot of aggro, doesn't he?
Yes.
We had,
you have, as the point of contact, I can tell
taunt
you,
ability
you have no idea. You have no idea the email I get. When Chad came on, my emails tripled with, this guy is so wrong. Here's why. And I'm like, you know what? You're right.
As of this episode, he is gone from the show. We have kicked him off.
Oh, he's kicked out. He's gone.
Yeah, we're done with him. But
he can take his long hair elsewhere.
There's only room enough for one long hair.
He did actually. Guy. He did actually write me a letter. He's like, "You guys need me tonight?" Like, no. He's like, "Oh, I see. Now you discard me." Like, so.
I was waiting for him to get hooked. He always said, "I'm only back until you get everything filled in." And I'm like, and then I saw how excited he was to be back on. I'm like, "You're not going anywhere."
Yeah.
He was having more fun than a pig in poo at Fear the Con, as were we all, of course.
I think, yeah, we were all at a great time.
All right.
Anyway.
All other stuff at Fear the Con. If you were not able to make it, the con turned out absolutely awesome. We walked into this with no idea what was going to happen.
This is a triumph.
We'll make a note here.
Huge success.
Don't oversell it, Luke.
Well, I mean, I came out of there with that attitude. Well, Dan.
Yeah, we had no idea going into this house was going to turn out. We had never run a con before. We had no idea what attendance was going to be. We just, you know, we knew this could be anything from an absolute flop to a great success. And it turned out excellent. And I don't say this to our praise because a con is only as good as the people that show up.
And people came from all over. I mean, I was like, I wouldn't have flown in from South Carolina or Texas to go to our con. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Or New York. I mean,
yeah.
Or New York.
I think
yeah.
Christopher, the
driven
poor guy
from
who got
Arkansas, Tennessee,
stuck at the airport until 6 a.m.
Colorado.
Yeah, we had a great turnout. People came from all over the country. The place was full. If we do this again next year, we're going to have to run out additional space, which we can do at that place because
there's
floor to it that we did not
and
run out this time.
And gaming in the basement is appropriate.
Yeah, it would be.
We're going to have Cheetos.
There's also a second little kitchen down there, so there's a lot of place we could
go. That would mean we'd have to have more volunteers to cook. And
well,
as hard as our volunteers worked, I don't know how many we're going to get.
Well, we could just jack up Tony's fruit budget.
That'll be the fruit cornucopia down there.
Everyone was extremely friendly. Games went well. I mean, the whole thing went awesome. And if you were at this con, pat yourself on the back. If you volunteered, pat yourself on the back twice because you guys made this thing work. I mean,
if you ran a game, you have my respect forever because I heard nothing but goodness.
I've only attended a few cons, but I know a lot of people go to many cons, and I always hear people complaining about getting in a bad game. Being as the guy who set up the gaming and the schedule of this one, I was waiting to hear, oh, such and such's game, you know, didn't do so hot. And I don't know, maybe people wouldn't come up to me because I am a host and it'd get on the air if somebody ran a bad game, but I did not hear, let me put it this way, I didn't hear anything bad in every single game I've heard people praising, you know, independently. So everything seemed to go really well game-wise.
Well, we had three gaming slots, and I intentionally planned nothing for myself during slot two.
You and me both, brother.
So I could just kind of walk around and be visible and be present. And walking that floor, and I spent 4 hours walking that floor, mm-hmm. I saw
jacking my gaming table.
It, well, only when you left. I did sit down and take over John's game, but when
I had to get a marker,
he got up and left. So I just sat down and started.
I failed my saving throw against. Yeah, that was when I did get your marker.
Oh, okay,
I failed my wisdom check against use a dry erase marker on a Chessex felt mat. So I borrowed Luke's actual Chessex felt mat marker, and it worked. Then
I found I spent slot two mingling too. I wanted to make sure things were going smooth, make announcements. And mingle a bit, and I found out I really couldn't walk the floor because every time I'd kind of look over people's shoulder for a game, they'd start wanting to talk to me, and I felt bad for the GM. I'm like, whoa, I don't want to ruin the game. I'm out. Well, we'll talk. Tell me when you break. We'll have a talk.
Oh, see, I didn't get in the middle of any. I didn't get all in anybody's mix like that. I just kind of walked up and down the tables, talked to people that weren't gaming, and just kind of get a feel of how is this going? You know, what's going on out here? And just everybody seemed to be having a great time. I did not walk past any table.
Well, it was a very friendly. The community aspect was really there, really present.
Yeah, I was impressed with that. I was with beer around, you never know how things are going to go. And the atmosphere couldn't have been more laid back and cool. Everybody really behaved themselves. We had one small incident with a guy passing out, but
he passed out.
He passed out. It was fine.
And then the next day he was on a message board saying, hey, sorry.
Yeah, sorry about
it. It's a self-solving problem. If you come to the con and you pass out, you're not a problem.
You may be drawn upon.
Try to pass out on a cot if you could, make yourself even less of a problem.
I mean, if you're a violent drunk, okay, we've got a problem. But if you just pass out, that's... you've taken care of yourself. All we have to do is tuck you in and then take pictures of you.
Oh, apparently we took pictures. That's a bad thing if you're playing the squad leader. So really, only tertiary characters are allowed to get really, really drunk.
Before we get into our advice portion, let's do some rapid fire thank yous for the people that contributed to the con. I will start with, because this is the first thing that I was given, Martian Bob gave me a plaque commemorating our first convention, which was a wooden, I don't know, elliptoid or ellipse or whatever the heck that is. I guess the elliptoid is the three-dimensional one. So gave me a
ovoid.
This is
that got way too complex.
This is way
he
too
gave me a wooden oval that has a air freshener on it.
Fear the con one.
This is Fear the con one.
It was awesome. Very good. Very good.
We have no thanks to give for the place where we had Worldwide Wing Night.
Ooh.
Worldwide Wing Night itself went great. A lot of people showed up. Great time. Had just a wonderful time talking to everybody out there. But the waitresses at the place were downright ignorant.
In fact, my wife called to complain the next day because some of them were making fun of us with other bar patrons.
Yeah, they were sitting there insulting us through the entire thing. Never mind the fact that we had almost 100 people there. We're giving them copious amounts of business.
And we're cooler than they are.
We're tipping ridiculously well.
We're not alone at a bar on a Friday night. We have a huge crew.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just completely ignorant to us. So whatever, we'll just take that business
like
somewhere
else. I'm well past the point where I care if anyone makes fun of me for gaming. I mean, come on. I got thick skin. It's not a big deal. But I don't want to pay people to do
well,
it.
Well, the other... that's kind of where I'm at.
I'd be like a governor of New York Barbie if I did girl that. I don't know.
You know, for a long time, I had my gamer shame. And I just hit this point where it's like, I'm 31 years old. I am... And even at 31, I am too freaking old to care about who's cool anymore. Right. I just... I don't give a damn. You know, I work a job. I have a wife. I have a house. Who's cool on the playground just does not register with me anymore.
And like we've said, everybody has their geek thing. I mean, you're a big sports fanatic. You follow all that. Guess what? You're a nerd just in a different way.
I had my fantasy baseball draft last week. Are you calling me a nerd?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So probably next year we go back to Cyberg for two reasons. One, they were a lot more polite to us there than Side Pockets was.
We had one waitress and she was awesome at Cyberg.
And secondly, the other thing was we had our own room. Now, there was no little vote for Pedro local band or whatever playing, so we didn't have a band to scream over, but they were playing music fairly loud, just like
crappy
off the radio
music
or whatever. So
says you
that did kind of set us up
What, are you going to defend Barbie Girl?
No.
Okay, good.
That did kind of set us up for wrecked voices the following day. And
yeah.
I did like at Cybergs how they gave us our own enclosed room that had no music playing.
The only benefit of Side Pockets was it was proximity. It was so close to the hotel.
Yeah, it was located in the same strip mall.
They have Buffalo Wild Wings right there. We'll just go there next year.
Whatever. Yeah, well, I don't know if Buffalo Wild Wings could handle us
they
with their setup. I'd rather go back to Cybergs, which isn't that far away.
No, and it's not hard to find either. It's at an intersection of two major roads, and not that far away.
And we could always meet in carpool, you know, with the native lead the pack.
Or there's also a bunch of hotels right there around that Cybergs, so we'll just pick a different hotel.
You know, it's not exactly far from Westport, so.
No, so, exactly.
Westport is where my mud people go to get smashed for a weekend and be nerds. It works.
All right, other people we need to thank. Let's start off with what, in my mind, is the folks we need to thank the most, which are the two ladies that did concessions.
Woo!
Stacy and the realtor.
Margie.
And secondly is the girls that worked the door, which would have been Carla, Kim, and
CJ. CJ is Josh's wife, who's a module in the on the forums, who just showed up with her husband's like, I got nothing to do. Give me something to write on. I'll make your signs. And just went on working for the rest of Conch. She's awesome.
I got my pencil.
Give me something to write on.
He played in one of my Epoch games. He was a really good guy. So I want to thank all the ladies for just an enormous amount of work. I cannot believe how above and beyond all of them went. I mean, just the girls really at the door, they just took things by the throat. We kind of honestly dropped the ball a little bit with some of the registration stuff and prize support. And they just took it over, invented their own process, and got that all taken care of.
It worked.
Over concessions, I couldn't believe the amount of food they bought or how cheap they were selling it. I have never been to a con where you could get a hot dog for $1.
$1.
Yeah, and they worked their butts off back there, too.
They never stopped moving.
Oh, give me like a hot dog and some nachos and something else. And I walked away with change from a $5. There is no con on the face of the earth that does that. And this is, we take no credit for this because we didn't do this.
It was all Stacy and Margie.
Yeah, I mean, they just did an outstanding job, way above and beyond the non-existent call of duty for a volunteer con.
So. I tried to pay Stacy with a Chuck E. Cheese token or something like that. It was hidden among my Sacagawea dollars, and she didn't arrest me for counterfeit money, so that was...
Sacagawea dollars are funny money anyway.
I went on the Metrolink a couple weeks ago and put a 20 in for a $3 ticket and got back 17 Sacagawea dollars. So that's why I had this massive pouch of gold pieces on me for the last month.
That's the only way they get those things out there, is if you go to any...
Forcing you to.
You go to any government-type supported thing, for the county or city or whatever, they dump the stupid-ass funny money on you, and it's like...
I used to do that to my brother when I was working at GameStop, and he came through, and I had to make change for him. I took all the Sacagawea dollars and just lined him up on the counter and was like, you sure you don't want to buy a subscription?
I mean, at least the silver dollars were cool looking.
Yeah, Sacagawea dollars are lame.
Yeah.
And heavy.
So, anyway.
They're good for throwing at people.
I guess so.
That's legal tinder you're throwing, buddy. I think that's illegal.
Tony? Just
throwing money away.
Here are the fruit.
Fruit by the foot,
success.
That man came out
fruit by
with...
the crate.
He went down to a local farmer's market, and... he spent the donations that were sent in for Fear of the Fruit, which was over $100, and he came with 6 cases of fruit. There was so much fruit. If you had not pooped coming up to this con, you had no excuse for not taking care of business thereafter.
Third slot, it came.
So, there is no excuse.
Sunday.
Now, here's something else. If you donated to Fear the Fruit, you weren't just contributing to Gamer Health.
No.
Because what happened thereafter is Tony took all the leftover fruit,
which was... immense.
A substantial amount of
and
apples and oranges.
All the leftover food from the concession stand that Stacy and Margie left behind.
Bread, buns,
and
chips.
Took that to a violence prevention center for, I believe, specifically violence against women, and donated it to a women's shelter. And they were extremely happy to receive that donation. So if you had anything to do with that, give yourself yet another pat on the back. Give yourself a Benny.
Oh, I've hooked him. My hooks are in him.
Good on you, Tony.
Speaking of Tony, too, but besides just being awesome with the whole fruit by the foot experience, he also brought the crates around to each table like, hey, guys, do you need fruit? So the game master, so you didn't have to interrupt the game. It was great. He came around, just passed stuff out. It was fantastic.
I've never gotten fruit service before. That was a new experience.
It's like turndown service, only better and more regular.
All right, let's thank...
more regular.
Let's do two last rounds of thanks. One for the fans, specifically that donated stuff to the con. And then we'll do, if do you have a list of the companies that donate things to the con?
I've committed to memory.
Okay, excellent. All right, the fans that donate thing, Martian Bob gave us the plaque. He also gave us
Dark Heresy.
Dark Heresy.
He's done some good write-ups of the con, too.
Yeah, we've got a lot of good write-ups.
Yeah, if you don't know what happened with the con, a quick search of our forum and you will find a bunch of threads and also people linking to their private blogs where
like
they blog.
I wrote
con.
Up a huge write-up.
So if you want to see some pictures of the games or whatever, any quick search of our forum will
Speaking
yield
that. Speaking of that, I took a lot of pictures and there are a few other people, but I saw a lot of people taking pictures and I've not seen them posted. I would love to see more pictures of the con if you guys have
There's
them.
There's a glorious shot of my ass bent over my Warcraft game.
I think that was
one
of course.
Was that you?
Yeah, it was
okay,
me.
And there is a Fear the Boot Flickr account, so if you don't have a place to host these pictures, you can just hop on the Fear the Boot Flickr account and post them there.
Also, Chris Engler
gave us three copies of Savage Worlds.
Yep. Very good, Captain Crunch.
Alex H. gave us a ton of DS9 copies of the DS9 role-playing game and Star Wars D20.
I was curious, John, did you get a copy of the DS9 RPG?
I did not. Hosts were prohibited from receiving
copies. Yes, well, I had to make sure that all the GMs got something. So
stupid rules against graft.
Hosts and Phil did not get any prizes. Phil was like, why can't I get any? I'm like, Phil... You're Phil.
Phil's on all the shirts.
Yeah, you can't get
because
any prizes.
The shirt, our logo, was the dirigible with the train beneath
I'm wearing it right now.
The Flying Phil, as Carla has dubbed
it. As provided to us by Maggie the Realtor.
And
yes. Margie.
Mm-hmm. Phil was also walking around the con with a Sharpie, signing everybody's shirt, whether you wanted him to or not.
He's wanted to touch a boob.
I can't wait until I wash this shirt like three times and it's just this black smudge.
I know. That's why Phil came up to me. He's like, can I sign your shirt? I'm like, is that a color safe marker? And he's like, no. I'm like, then no. Get a color fast marker and then you may sign my shirt.
I let him sign it.
And lastly,
Sawtooth.
Let's thank Sawtooth because he sent, when I got his package, I was like, wow, that is a big package. And they're ride that train. There was literally, I mean, well over $100 worth of prizes and all faint. Like, I was like, I don't want to give this up. This is all really, really good stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude. Our prize table was at least $300 or $400 of really top of the line.
Yeah, I mean, our fans went above and beyond. And, you know, we had a few people offer to give stuff that we didn't have time to work it out, to take them up on it, because some people wanted to donate money or have a GM fund. Like, David Gray wanted to do kind of a GM's fund thing.
Yeah, GM scholarship.
But it was just too hard to work out at the time. So the people who sent prizes, I can confirm, we had just enough prize support that every GM got an awesome prize. Well, almost all of them worth more than their ticket price. And we raffled off a ton of...
I think the Savage Worlds books were the only ones that were less than $15 or $20, and they went real quick because the vendor sold out of Savage Worlds.
Yeah, we had World of Darkness Chicago, the Battletech box set, the new one, and Dark Heresy and Deadlands Reloaded. They're all $40-$50 plus, and the Savage World stuff still went quickly for $10. It's
the
like
Explorers Edition paperback.
Yeah, it's like wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right,
that's what proselytizing will get you, Luke.
The companies that donated. Let's start off with Gamer Ground. They did the store and back.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome job. The Atomic Earth guys that were there demonstrating Atomic Earth game.
There's a new board game coming out called Atomic Earth, and I wish I got to play. It looked like a lot of fun.
They were playtesting really there, but we're going to save that for the next episode when we talk about board games in depth. So we'll come back to them. What all the companies have donated?
We got a bunch of prize support from Pinnacle. We got several books from them. Same thing with White Wolf, who sent a ton of stuff. Both of them sent well over $120 worth of books to us. We also got prize support from Catalyst Games, some coupons for their online store,
right?
And 12 to Midnight, which is a third-party publisher for Savage Worlds and D20, who also gave us some coupons for their online store for some free downloads, which was hot. I mean, between that and what the fans supported,
were fat and happy gamers at the end of that day.
Polymancer magazine, we also got,
gave out free copies to everyone that was there. Polymancer magazine.
And we're in the magazine, by the way.
Were we?
We are apparently unscripted, quote unquote. So.
Oh,
we'll have to prove our truly unscripted.
Wait, was that an issue, or was that?
I don't know.
Because I know we're an
Pick
A.
It out.
Let me see. We're an A issue, but I didn't know if that was the one they were handing out or not.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Is this the one there?
It's very beginning.
I got a different one. I got one with the
There were two different ones on there.
Okay, that's why. I got a different one. Yeah, this one we're in. I got a copy of a different one, which we were not in. But
the reviewer tells us to actually, you know, get some structure and talk about gaming. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we've done how many episodes now? Anyway, reviewer schmew.
Hey, this is like we've said, we don't
We don't care.
We don't take this seriously. Yeah, no. This is just for fun. So
anyway, the we had enough prizes. Like I said, not only did the GMs all get something, but the players, we raffled off a bunch thanks to the ladies. And I don't think everybody walked out with something, but a lot of people, a huge percentage of people walked out with a book, a coupon, something from the sport pool.
Right.
Between the cheap concessions and all the free stuff, there were just a lot of happy people.
Yeah, you got stuff if you were a game master. If you weren't a game master, you got excellent games for a small price of admission.
Everyone, and free beer. Ahead.
So, once again, if you were there, thank you. It doesn't matter what hall we rented out, what things we did in advance. It was the people that showed up and filled that con that made it what it was. And that is, right now, I owe my humblest thanks, first to our volunteers, and second to the attendees.
Woo.
For everything. You know, it was just beyond our wildest dreams. If I had written down on paper the kind of success I wanted, it would have fallen short, or the way this actually came together. And that's not ego, because I didn't do that.
And I can't tell you how good it felt. I'm sure all the hosts had this, but as things were winding up, just so many people coming up and telling us what a great time they had, how they'd happily come again, and just raving about how much they appreciated it. It's like, wow, we really put something special together here, and people really enjoyed it, and it worked out.
So looking forward to next year. Barring some Armageddon, there will be a Fear of the Con 2, because we'd be stupid not to have one. I think also the timing of this one worked out really well, because we're past the holiday season, but before the con season.
I've heard more than one person say that it fell in the perfect time, because at least the Midwest doesn't have any big cons in like spring. I mean, you've got a few like city cons, like Gorilla Con and whatnot. Well, granted, we're just a little city con at this point, but hopefully growing. You know, we're trying.
Well, it's strange, because we're really not
a
local
city con.
Yeah,
we're a small national con, which is so weird, because usually you have big national cons, you know, or whatever, small local cons, but we're so strange in that we're a small national con. And because honestly, I don't think even 50% of the people there were local.
Oh, no. No, absolutely
no way.
Not.
No
yeah,
way.
I mean, probably.
Maybe a quarter.
Yeah, maybe a quarter to a third of the people that were there were local. And that's we'll get to this here in a second. But one of the things I think we failed on with this con was local promotion. That I think we could have doubled or tripled the number of people there if we'd done more with local promotion. But the vast majority of people we had there were from out of town, out of state. And that's one of the things that really surprised me. But we're definitely going to have a Fear of the Con 2 next year. As Luke was just saying, and I was saying, it seems like March was a great time to have it. So Fear the Con 2 will be in early March as well. So you're not in the middle of the con season, after the con season and con fatigue, or in the middle of the holidays, like, you know, Christmas and such. And I think also we're looking at probably having it back at the same place. We'll just have to rent out the other floor to allow room to grow. But we are thinking about trying to shoot for doing it 2 or 3 days this time, instead of just having a one-day con.
Probably, if we're going to do it, we'll do it 2, I think. I think 3 might be stretching it for a second.
Maybe Wing Night plus 2.
Well, Wing Night plus 2,
that's
right.
Where I was getting
okay,
3, was
gotcha,
Wing
gotcha.
Night plus 2. So it gotcha. Might be like a Wing Night and then 2 days of con.
I mean,
we're trying to figure out if we're going to do Wing Night Thursday and then Friday, Saturday, the con, or Wing Night Friday and then Saturday, Sunday for the con. If you have a thought on that, if there's something that's easier for you to schedule, get on our forums and let us know, because we do take that stuff into account. So
we do listen to that, just not reviews.
The one thing that
we listen to the reviews.
Do,
yeah, we just don't care. You're right.
Next time it'll be not on the weekend where the time changes.
That's probably a good idea.
That that
I hate
kicked
spring forward
my
day with
ass.
The fire of a thousand suns.
That kicked my ass. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about things we learned from running this con that might be advice to somebody else who's looking to start up a con, or somebody who's like us where they're on the kind of front end of this, and maybe we can just share thoughts here. And even if you have no interest in running a con, the simple fact of the matter is that cons are a big part of the gaming world. And so you might find it interesting just to hear what happens on the back end of these things. What goes into running one of these?
And if you've never been to one, I'd really recommend you just go to your little local city con or whatever, because they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had tremendous, tremendous fun at Fear the Con. So
I did too, and I thought I wouldn't have as much fun because, you know, we kind of have to keep things running smoothly and be under a lot of pressure.
It ran itself.
It was self-managing. During that 4 hours, if it had not been for the number of people I was able to socialize with, I'd have been bored for the simple reason nothing needed my attention. I'm walking around ready to put out fires.
Attention.
Well,
I was willing to put out.
We took care of that
fires.
In the bathroom. But 5 minutes in the stall took care of that. But you know, I was walking around thinking, oh, gee, I'm going to have to, you know, keep things under control. And everybody was just such little angels that
cleaned up on their own tables, tipped the bartenders. I mean,
yeah. And even after the con was over, the amount of people that hung around to help us clean the place up and tipping the bartenders.
Mass exodus to Wild Wings at the end.
Yeah, it was there good time.
Our bar was run by guys from Parks and Rec. As we said, leading up to this, we were not allowed to serve our own alcohol or any of our own drinks. And so all of our alcohol soda was being served by two old guys from St. Charles Parks and Rec. And even they pulled me aside after the con was over and said, this is some of the politest, nicest people we've ever met. We really hope you'll have another one of these conventions. We'd love to have you back. In fact, we're going to go recommend your group to the council that handles this park so that they can be sure to get you guys back here again sometime soon.
So here's my plan. Next year, I'm going to run a World War II game and have those two in it for authenticity.
Wow. They could probably run it.
They could. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They might correct you too much. Anyway, all right, running a con. Things we learned from running Fear the Con. First of all, however much work you think you had to do, multiply it by just some ridiculously large number.
When did you guys start initially planning?
All right, now,
ooh, I don't know, October?
We cooked this up. We've kicked this idea around probably for the past year. I mean, this has been since before even Luke was on the show that we've been talking about the idea.
The dark times.
But when did you actually start the plan?
Before the Empire.
We started planning probably,
I'd say October, November.
Yeah, really late summer, early fall of last year.
Well, we didn't get serious and start looking into venue and scheduling until probably October, November, well, I think.
Yeah, but there was a couple meetings even before that where we sat around just kind of like, okay, what could we use as a venue?
Okay, so October through February, approximately 5 months?
5 months serious planning. John's giving me funny looks over
there. No, because Matt hit the table.
I just grimaced at the Matt smash again.
I heard it that time.
But we're going to have to handcuff Matt, have some kinky time here. Anyway.
Jeez, Dan. Eek. What was in your cereal this morning?
Viagra?
Spanish fly. But
you're doing it wrong.
I saw that.
Spanish guy?
But anyway, so about 5 months of planning, of serious planning, and still when we got to the con, and this is where I'm so grateful to the volunteer help, because the amount of slack they had to pick up for us, because it's things like we walked in there, just even the stupid crap, the simple crap. You're running a gaming con. We didn't have pencil sharpeners.
Nope.
Just one of the simple things.
You bought how many pencils and you didn't have sharpeners?
What's funny is I had a pencil sharpener set aside and forgot to bring it. So we get out to the con, there's no pencil sharpeners. So we have all these, we have like 200 unsharpened pencils, which are going to do nobody any good. So we had to send Chad out an emergency run to, I don't know where he went, Walmart or something like that, to go hunting around for pencil sharpeners.
And then also our original plan for, here's the layout we need, because the place set up the layout for us with tables. As soon as we walked in, we're like, this isn't going to work. We did this wrong. And quick change, get out the round tables for gaming, push a bunch together for the War Machine tournament. Okay, this might work. And we just had, if there was one more person for the War Machine tournament, we would not have had enough space for that, because we just about maxed out our room over there. But it was coming in, that was a big stress. It's like, okay, this isn't going to work. Let's fix this. Fortunately, so many fans pitched in because they were there early. It happened really quickly.
Yeah, it came together very fast. And some of that was venue related. We only had the venue like 30 minutes before the doors opened.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. No amount of planning on our part could fix that.
That's the one thing I didn't like about the venue. The only thing is that we couldn't get there earlier to set up. Had we done that, right, or had even a little more time, so we wouldn't have to put the game blocks together, which we'll talk about in a minute, it would have been a little bit better that way.
But that's one thing to think about, is this con's going to take more to put on than what you've estimated. And so figuring, rolling right into that, be sure you have the venue well in advance and well after the con, if at all possible, just because of the number of things you're not going to know you don't know, or not going to realize you forgot, until suddenly you start to be like, what are we going to do with this? An example being when we went to do prizes, we had all these great prizes.
It's like, hey guys,
it's like, how are we going to give these out?
I got all these. Like, did anybody think of a way to give these out? And everybody's like, crap, I guess we'll just call people up to pick them up. But is that fair? Who knows?
Well, yeah. So
we had a little numerical raffle system that I think we wound up discarding.
Well, the girls did a really good job, but nobody came up and checked the raffle. So yeah.
One of the things that I would recommend that I think saved us some heartache that could also, it would have helped us save more heartache if we'd done this more in earnest, is sit down and test run the con. We're role players. We love imagining situations. Role play out the con.
Can I be the bartender?
Okay.
Can I be the drunk guy?
We walk in the door. What's the first thing that happens? And go from there.
So what are, check.
Sit down and be like, what are all the things that we didn't think about?
Yep.
And play through the con. Remember things like the pencil sharpeners. Making sure you know where you're going to have the table that takes tickets. We weren't sure on that until we walked through the door.
And I tell you what, when we opened up, people were coming into two very different doors. And fortunately, like we said, it was a big community. We trusted everybody to kind of go out, make sure they paid when everything got set up again. But if we're any bigger next year, we can't have that happen.
Right.
We got to have that set up beforehand.
So some of that was not entirely my fault because I locked one of the doors and someone kept unlocking it.
Well, it was
you posted a sign. Said, yeah. Through the booth.
No, that was actually one of the ladies did that. Okay. But yeah.
And Gamer Ground needed to unload. So that door had to be open. You couldn't get around it.
At least at first.
Yeah.
But later. Once again, what was at first? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had people for the con showing up as early as we did. Just because that's when the venue opened. I mean, if somebody showed up a little bit in advance, they were there the same time we were.
Yeah, we had a half hour to set up before the doors opened, which wasn't enough. It worked out because we had a lot of help. But next year, we're going to have a better plan. Well, again, that's experience right there.
And right.
So the biggest thing for me, I mean, work-wise, here's how I came into this thing. We talked about doing the con. At the time, I was writing the SOG rules, and everybody's like, don't do anything for the con. Help out where you can, but you focus on SOG. SOG rules were done in like November. I'm like, hey guys, what can I do? And I ended up taking over the game schedule, which ended up being one of the bigger parts of the con. I didn't realize I was getting in so deep, but it worked out because I found a good way to do it. And then I ended up, I wasn't handling the money. And then I was handling the money. So it was like, wow, I ended up doing far more than I thought. And not only am I doing stuff for the con, now I'm actually doing a huge part for the con, handling pre-reg money and game signups. And it was all made a lot easier by one simple website.
Let's talk about that. What was your experience with ticketing? And of course, pre-reg, you didn't do ticketing at the door. The ladies did
right,
that. But what
right.
was your experience with pre-reg and also game signup? What were some of the thoughts you had walking away
from
here's
that? The way we had it set up. We used Warhorn because Warhorn.net, it was a fantastic.
That was good.
Yeah, fantastic site because it allows everybody to pre-reg. It allows people to post games and descriptions and sign up beforehand. So you don't have a rush at the con. You know, people who come from Texas can sign up for the games they want and know they're going to get in.
And of course, if you're running a smaller con, you either may not know how to program, not have the time to program, or certainly not have the money to hire a programmer. So here's an application already built. And in this case, okay, I am a professional programmer.
I am not.
I could have written this application, but I'm trying to get other things ready for the con, like put the SOG actual printable document together. And so I don't have time to be writing. You know, I don't need another thing on my plate of spending several weeks writing a big in-depth application to do sign up and tie to a shopping cart and handle game registration and profiles and all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. So Warhorn,
did a great job. Here's the problem, is we didn't use it right. My job would have been ridiculously simple had we set it up right, because it's made to use through PayPal, and we use Google Checkout. If you use it through PayPal, people can basically, they sign up, or they go there, they sign up, they pay, and then they can sign up for games. The way we had it, they sign up for Warhorn, they pay, messages come to me, I have to go to Google Checkout, charge their card, go back to Warhorn, clear them for games, and then it's done. So it became a three-step process when it could have been basically a one-step process. If we did it right, the only thing I would have had to enter at Warhorn was people would send in the scenarios they wanted in, I'd put that in, and then everything else would be handled by, it'd be automated, and I wouldn't have had to do a thing, and that would have been great.
You know, if we could take a little bit larger look at it, it's not just for the game, for the game sign-up, you found the right tool, the right solution, somebody else had already discovered it, you solicited some advice, and you got a great tool that made your life easier. I think as far as the overall con planning, don't reinvent the wheel. If you've been to a con and something worked well, steal it.
Yes. Simplicity is a big thing because, as we keep saying, there is so much more that's going to come up than what you had planned for. Keep everything you can simple, because the less you have to worry about, the less you have to keep track of, the less you have to do yourself. All you're going to do is make your life easier for all the things you didn't think about. So I highly recommend that. I think Warhorn may not be the only site out there. I don't know if there are others, but it worked wonderfully for us.
It was very easy to use. And next year, if we use it again, it will be set up. So whoever handles the gaming sign up, it's automated because it would have been so much easier on for me
right.
than having to go through that every And I use Gmail a lot, and you can't log into Google Checkout in Gmail, so I had to keep switching accounts, and Dan set up this ridiculous password that it wouldn't save, and I had to keep typing in every time.
It was you like, could have changed it. All I do is go to
I didn't want
to
lock you out.
Well, you could have sent me an email saying, hey, Dan, it's not like we don't ever see each other.
I'm not like that. I was like, okay, I'll type this
you
again.
It's only 34, and I would have guessed it.
It's only 34 letters here. It's a whole sentence.
I would have just hit W and then held down O and hit enter until eventually it accepted.
Actually, it'd have to be, I think the last number would have to be zero. I'd be like, zero.
Okay.
It'd be fine.
Just, to make it, make it
secure.
Take through.
Secure. Yeah, the game sign-up would have worked well. Now, my biggest problem with the game sign-up is we had the hall. We were opening at 10:30. Game would start at 11. We had to be done by 11. That is 3 4-hour blocks. Typically, gaming is divided up into 4-hour blocks, which would mean, there wasn't any breaks between games.
Buffer time.
What's that? Yeah, need buffer time. That was, and people came up to me, and I'm like, here's why I did it. I thought we were going to have a big Living Greyhawk contingent, because we have a big Living Greyhawk group in St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
They require 4-hour blocks. You can't get away from that. If we did 3.5, they wouldn't have come. They didn't come anyway. We had one table running at each slot, thanks to Matt and all the D&D guys who played.
Somehow we managed to choose mods that everybody in the local area had already played. Who knew?
Who knew? But they didn't show up, and so it's like, well, we could have just done 3.5-hour slots, which we ended up calling it about three forty-five, which gave people enough time. But it would have been nice to have mingle a bit and get around between games, and we didn't have that going.
Yeah,
on.
Definitely next
and
year.
Not everyone's game has to run all 4 hours. Mine was only like two.
No, well, the first time because I had so much energy. From basically stress energy from setting up. My first game ran really fast because I messed up the pacing at the start. I just was running through stuff, and I realized it's 3 hours, and the devil just died, so we're done.
Well,
mine
both,
by just pure
the devil
luck,
never goes
came
the
out
distance.
Really well. Like, mm-hmm. The first one ran about three and a half,
uh-huh.
And the second one, same thing, ran right about 3 hours. So people had enough time to go mingle, but it still ran the bulk of my slot. I didn't feel like I was, screwing the people that
I really didn't want to go too short and have these people like, we came for this. This is crap. What do I do with my time now? But we didn't have that. So next time, if we use the same venue, we're going to have the same problem. It's the only issue. So we're going to cut down the slots or find some way to be there longer and have a buffer zone between the slots.
Right.
I don't know what we're going to do.
Figure something out. Yeah, exactly. So we have a little more social time in there. And of course, maybe also if the con ran over more days.
Sure.
Then, we could get away with 4 or 5 slots over 2 days instead of 3 slot on 1 day and have some, empty time in between. One thing that Chad brought up was next year, we never did anything like panels. We never did a Q&A for the podcast. There's a lot of things that we could have done, a costume contest, which we talked about doing earlier, but
there was one guy in costume. He won. It was Killer Cheese Witch.
But zombie Killer Cheese Witch.
It ended up not happening. Well, outside of Killer Cheese Witch, but a big costume didn't happen. Tony talked about trying to do some like local films and such. Just there's a lot of things we could do.
There were some suggestions to run the Dragonlance movie with our commentary track over the top of it.
A little bit too navel gazing.
Uh-huh. But there's a lot of things that we could do to offer some kind of entertainment. So you have this break between games to socialize, to hit the concessions, whatever. But at the same time, if you're just, if you want something to do, you're not that interested in talking to other people or whatever, there'd be somewhere else you could go and hang out until the next gaming slot starts.
One other thing is synchronizing the gaming schedule to the location of the individual slots at the con. Like where we ran into a problem where we had these short, skinny tables and the big round tables, which are much better for gaming. Mm-hmm. And that'll, depending on your location, you might not have a big room. You might have a series of small rooms. So you want to make sure that when you're planning out your slots, figure out how they're going to flow from one slot to the next. Because if you're going to have the same people in the same area, try to keep those games happening in the same room.
Yeah, we didn't do that at all because I didn't number assign. Not just me here. I didn't number assign tables before we got there. It's like
people were helping me make table tents
because we didn't have the map. Nobody had the map anymore. So it's like I can't
and even
tell
when
you
we
what
got
tables.
There, we moved the tables around right away. I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I
it was
just
like
showed up at a table. Yeah. My flag
for second slot, I'm like, I have no idea who's where, but I'm just going to put some numbers up.
To quote the prisoner, you will need information. When you walk into these cons, had everything handy you can. This is something where I will take responsibility for dropping the ball. We had a map of the con room, and they told us, here's the size of a table, here's the scale of the map, draw out how you want the table set up, which we ended up changing.
Five squares.
Which there's a fork in one, but which
a pie in the other.
It ended up, we kind of moved them around anyway, but the point being, we had a starting arrangement, and Phil was kind enough to take this and to draw out a good layout for us, and so we turned that in, or I turned that in, and didn't make a photocopy of it. So
rookie
Chad
mistake.
Calls me up, and he's like, so how many tables do we have? I'm not really sure. He's like, well, do we have more than five? I'm like, yeah, I know we have more than five. He's like, well, 10. I'm like, I know it's more than 10. It's like, I know we have something like the ability to run about 20 to 25 games at once. I just don't know exactly how many. It's somewhere in that kind of 15 to 30 or whatever range where we fall. And this, of course, meant that Luke could not take out his thing and say, well, this is table one, table
oh,
two.
Oh, I took out my thing, but it was a.
But that wasn't until after
number
the moonshine.
That was back in the stall.
I can only count to
no,
three.
No, we gave
that.
Away the moonshine
yeah.
to an excellent player, by the way.
Yes,
did you actually buy the jar of moonshine and give it away?
You were with me when I bought it.
I know, but did you actually give it away?
It was the last slot of Dukes. I had him dice off for it. And Tim from Wisconsin won.
Tim okay. from Wisconsin is a baller, by the way. He gave me a tall boy of Colt 45.
I got dice from him, too, because I had mine lost. They also, on his phone, he showed me a picture. They got the Colt 45 from BJ's Liquo.
They
went to an FTB landmark. Yeah, it was
yes.
Tim, please post that picture.
He was one of the two heads of my ogre.
How did they find BJ's Liquo?
I don't know. They're from Wisconsin. Right, it was Tim and Chris.
So they found BJ's Liquo. Wow, that's not real easy to find.
No, it's not.
It is down these back roads. The only reason I know where it is it is in this little podunk bunch of back roads out somewhere behind my house. The only reason I know where it is because I live right here and drive past this coming home all the time. Because when I'm trying to get off the main roads, these are some of the back roads I take. But this is not like a real big shining light in the city that's easy to spot. You have to try to find this
yeah,
place.
And when he showed me the picture, I'm like, that's fantastic, because he's holding the Colt 45 right in front of BJ's. I'm like, that is fantastic.
It comes out of nowhere. I'm setting up the map and getting my dice out, and he just plunk, and there it is. And I'm like, all right.
Was it Lick You or Lick You at that point?
It was Lick You.
Yeah, it was after all our last recording.
Little known fact about people from Wisconsin, they can sense lightning kugels in a 1 mile radius.
That's only fair. So that's about it for gaming. I can't.
Thing I can come up with for gaming was Chad was an excellent asset for this role in particular.
Asset.
It's like a female ass, like an asset. But when we had people sign up for the games, we had a good number of GMs volunteer in advance, and a lot of people in very orderly fashion sign up in advance. So we had the bulk of the event covered. But doing quick head math, we realized we've only got games set up for, I don't know, maybe some percentage of that. Okay. Which was not like 95%.
No,
I don't know what it was, somewhere in the 50 to 75% range.
I had a big worry going in that, okay, well, we have several games. Most are full, but we're definitely going to have more players
than
GMs. I'm like, and a few of them bailed beforehand. I mean, I could only attract so many. It was all volunteers. So what am I going to do?
So,
thank you, Chad.
Yeah. What Chad did is I was talking to Chad ahead of time, and he's like, what are we going to do with these other people? And he and I kind of kicked it back and forth. And what we came up with is, well, Chad's a loud and shameless person. What we'll have him do is at the start of every gaming slot, he's just going to walk around and cheerlead. That if we see people that are standing around with nothing to do, because as a con, we have basically one job as people that are organizing this con, which is to make sure everyone's entertained, or at least that entertainment has been enabled. There's nothing we are doing or not doing that is getting in the way of people having a good time. And if people are standing around bored because there's not enough to do, they're not having a good time.
You took this a different way than I did. I was going to thank him for coming up with the game.
Yeah,
I'm getting to that.
This is how we stopped the plugs.
Right.
The
first thing that we did was Chad and I kicked it around, and he walked around during the start of every slot. And if he saw people just standing there, he would basically start yelling to start pickup games. You know, get some people together. And we had some empty tables in one of the rooms where people could go and just grab a game that was not scheduled. And there were also several people that attended, and bless these people as well, who real quickly started their own games or were boisterous enough themselves to get something going. The other thing Chad did that I thought was great was what John was mentioning, the gaming library.
Yeah, we had a big old game exchange set up with a sheet of paper, sign in, sign out
right.
sheet. And I don't know, 15 or 20 board games, and these are popular games. We had
Settlers of Catan. I saw more than that. There was a huge pile.
Axis and Allies and
Carcassonne,
StarCraft, which I wish I still haven't played the StarCraft board game. And I want. We'll talk next.
We had ton of some board games back there, and there are also some pickup RPGs going. I think some people did some just pick up like D&D and zombie games and things like that. So that's one of the things you've got to think about, though. It's what are you going to do with the people who are staying around board? Because if these people have nothing to do, and they may not have signed up in advance. Heck, they may not have even known about the con in advance. It could have been just their buddy grabbed them at the last minute. It's like, hey, I'm going to a gaming con this weekend. You should come with me. You've got to have something for these people to do. So,
yeah. It's funny. Chad was going around trying to fill people's slots, but but I didn't mean to say that. He came to, he was signed up for a slot one with me, the Duke's game, he and Don both. And when they both, like, Don was volunteering, she was helping Stacy out, and Chad was out doing his thing. So I'm like, well, okay, they're not going to be here. That's fine. So we started playing, and all of a sudden, Chad comes, sits down, and grabs character sheet. I'm like, are you in? He's like, oh, yeah. So, like, middle of the combat, I think he played Cooter. Yeah, in comes Cooter. And then, like, 10 minutes later, Dawn comes. It's like, hey, still got room for me? I'm like, well, sure, we're still mid-combat. Anybody can come into the boar's nest. And she played Cletus Hawk, and it was a good time.
I did find that amusing. She's the one girl at the table, and yet not the one who's
playing
Daisy.
Yeah.
Oh, Rich McKee played Daisy at the first game and was hilarious.
Rich played my Goblin Sapper. He was hilarious the whole time too.
Yeah, he did a really good job. Well, I had two support characters. I had Daisy and I had Uncle Jesse, who were made to kind of to shake people and to give bennies out. They had common bond and whatnot. And I told them to start out with, okay, here's how damage works in Savage Worlds. Shaking somebody's good for kind of fist fight type stuff. You're Daisy, you're taunt and intimidate, or you can taunt people and, you know, shake them so they can do this. And he took that and just ran with it. It was great.
So the fact that he was wearing Daisy Duke shorts at the time, would that make it LARPing?
I gave him a Benny.
I'd have given him jogging pants to put on, but that's just me.
That's just you.
If you were not able to make it out to this one, definitely stick around because we will have another one. I don't know, unlike Worldwide Wing Nights, we can just bash these things out once every 3 to 6 months, but we will have another one in the future. I think we'd be stupid not to, as well as this one.
Well, this one was so much fun. I had a good time. All right, even my wife, non-gamer, who I told him, like, look, there's probably not going to be many women there. You probably won't have much fun, you know. She's like, no, I want to come and support you. I'm like,
my mom loved your wife.
Yeah,
she
my
was
wife.
Like, oh, Kim is such a sweetie.
And my wife loved your mom. She was like, John's mom is so cool. She's going to talk to me. It's like awesome. Yep. But Kim, the whole night, I was like, well, hey, thanks for the support. She goes, I had a blast, you know, hanging with CJ and Carla and just seeing everybody have a good time. All these, you know, all these gamers, yeah, good times.
Your parents are funny, John. There's not many parents I can walk up to where their son is standing right there. I hand you a martini and they're like, and you're like, oh, this is also the guy that gave me a 9mm. I'm like, oh yes. I try to keep your son drunk and armed. And they found that amusing.
They did find that amusing.
Most parents would probably kill me.
It's a Missouri thing.
Well, I don't think if they were there, those type of parents, they probably wouldn't have come out in the first place.
Probably not. So anyway, once again, thank you all who showed up. Thank you all who just tune in and support the show in general. And if you weren't there, please do check out the forums, look at some pictures, see what went on, and kind of get your long distance piece of that con.
And I think I met my goal. I think I made people ashamed they didn't play in my Duke's game as word spread. I've heard some things like I wish I played.
A lot of goals were met. The con was successful. That was my goal. Also, Apocrisis got good reviews, which means I now need to do something with that in addition to Skies of Glass and move forward with that. Tony was happy because he got people to say, you know, this is the most healthy food I've ever eaten at a gaming table. So he was pleased. I think all in all, just great show from everyone. So thank you all, and we will catch you next time.
Woo!
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.